without the necessary change in diet. Charles Fillmore never would have been able to embrace the process of anamnesis, thereby enabling the Logos/Son of God within him to teach him the meaning of the biblical allegorical symbols. And he would have remained as blind to the true meaning of the scriptures as is the modern Christian world is today. What Charles Fillmore based his own above experiences has done is to confirm the statement preserved in the Gospel of the Nazarenes that is, "And Yeshua said to them, they whose hands are stained with blood, or whose mouths are defiled with flesh, or they who partake of benefits which are gotten by wronging one of God's creatures, cannot be righteous, nor can they touch holy things, or teach the mysteries of the kingdom." Ellen G. White was a visionary that greatly influenced the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Quoting Mrs. White, "Vegetables, fruits, and grains should compose our diet. Not an ounce of flesh meat should enter our stomachs. The eating of flesh is unnatural. We are to return to God's original purpose in the creation of man. Seek cleansing the temple." And what does the scriptures say with respect to the natural diet of mankind who seeks to return to the Edenic kingdom? "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also, to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Gen 1:29-31 in KJ. From a Jewish perspective, quoting the Jewish vegetarian website, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Rabbi Elazar hid in a cave for 13 years after Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was condemned to death by the Roman conquerors of Jerusalem for speaking out against them, following the murders of Rabbi Akiva and many others. While they lived in a cave, they were sustained by their studies of the Torah, a local stream, and a nearby carob tree for their food. These great sages demonstrated that a vegetarian diet, like the manna the Israelites received in the Sinai Desert, is enough to sustain a person as well as a people. Theosophy. But one of the most important explanations is provided in the Alice Bailey writings where it is written. One point of interest might here be noted. It is known esoterically that the vegetable kingdom is the transmitter and the transformer of the vital pranic fluid to the other forms of life on our planet. That is its divine and unique function. This pranic fluid, in its form of the astral light, is the reflector of the divine Akasha. The second plane therefore reflects itself in the astral plane. Those who seek to read the Akashic records, or who endeavor to work upon the astral plane with impunity, and there to study the reflection of events in the astral light correctly, have perforce and without exception to be strict vegetarians. The essential vegetarian Sufi diet. It is important to recognize that the core of the Sufis were vegetarian and therefore lived the same necessary consecrated life set forth by the Abayanite Nazarene disciples of Jesus. See the holographic mind. And as explained in the previous link, the vegetarian diet and the living of the consecrated life while seeking the source of truth within them made them able to receive the higher knowledge of both the soul and the kingdom of God. Thus, it is stated in the article Sufism and Vegetarianism. Sufism has a deep-rooted belief that vegetarianism is an essential step towards spiritual growth. Sufi saints like Rahim Bawa Mohiuddin and Hazrat Rabia Basri showed love and compassion to animals and taught that mercy towards them is essential to Islamic mysticism. The article then goes on and states, a popular incident in Hazrat Rabia's life goes that whenever she retired to the forest to meditate, she was surrounded by animals and birds. But as soon as another Sufi approached, they ran away, which angered him, and he asked her why they did so. In turn, she asked him what he had eaten. He replied that he had eaten onions fried in fat, at which she exclaimed, "You eat their fat. Why should they not flee from you?" The Sufi position that vegetarianism is, an essential step towards spiritual growth, confirms the in-depth explanation of body, mind, and spirit presented in this article. Mohammed is quoted saying, "See vegetarianism in Islam. Whosoever is kind to the creatures of God is kind to himself." The Prophet's earliest biography showed his universal compassion for all of creation. He spoke out against the mistreatment of camels and the use of birds for the targeting of marksmen. The Quran, is 6, verses 38 says, "There is not an animal on the earth, for a flying creature on two wings, but they are peoples like unto you." Mohammed was said to prefer vegetarian foods, such as milk diluted with water. He was said to eat only pomegranates, grapes, and figs for weeks at a time. He is quoted as saying to some hunters, "Maim not the brute beasts." At another time, Mohammed said, "There are rewards for benefiting every animal having a moist liver, all living creatures." Thus, we see a commonality of message of Mohammed in the words, "But they are peoples like unto you," wherein Jesus portrayed the animals in the Gospel of the Nazarenes as our lesser brothers. The diagram of the 12-sphere tree of life is overlain over the physical body at the right, because the mind surrounds the body in the etheric field and expresses itself in the whole of the physical form. What the physical body itself is an allegorical portrayal and expression of the mind that surrounds it like the life-giving atmosphere surrounds the earth. With each breath, we interact and change the polarity of the mind that surrounds the body as a personal atmosphere, and draw the mental connection in and out of the body, which is the physical manifestation of the mind. Those who learn to consciously breathe are able to maintain a higher level of awareness through the positive and negative cycles of each breath. Those who learn to control the cycles of the breath learn to control and focus the mind. What we see in the image of the tree of life on the left is the power center in the head, which expresses itself through the brain, which in the diagram is labeled the heavenly kingdom. The manner in which the diagram is presented is ultra important, because its opposite half is the opposite polarity of the power center in the genitals, which expresses itself in the sex centers, and is labeled the earthly kingdom. When rightly understood, the centers of the lower earthly kingdom is the other half of the upper heavenly kingdom, and the development of the upper heavenly is directly linked to and limited by the development of the lower earthly mental spheres and spiritual centers. See the limitations of the way of the monk. What this means is that your higher mental perceptive reasoning will always be limited by your condition of mind with which your lower sex center is imbued with. And in understanding this human physical reality, a whole new meaning of the purity of the virgin birth would have to be acknowledged and understood. And it is this purity of mind and being that is presented in this statement. "Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates." Rev 22:14. The city that one must enter through the gates is the gates of the inner kingdom. See Gate of Eden. On the basis that the uppermost heavenly sphere of mind and the lowermost earthly sphere of mind are polarized male/female paradoxical opposites, the center balance point is what is labeled the intellect sphere, shown as second from top, which is the physical bodily form itself. And the intellect sphere is shown as the second from the top, because our condition of mind is always demonstrated in our actions, or, in the words of the epistle of James/Jacob, "Faith apart from actions is dead, and it is our actions that is the embodiment of not only our faith, but the embodiment of who and what we are." As it is stated, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Matt 7:21-23 in KJ. The intellect sphere, therefore, is so named because it is the product of how we utilize our resources of mind in our daily life. The outer columns of the tree of life represent the tree of duality, aka tree of knowledge of good and evil, with the male column being the understanding, judgment, and logic spheres of mind, while the female column is the wisdom, mercy, and intuition columns. Jesus taught that love is the answer, because that is not only the center of the tree of life, but can only be manifest when the person's mind is whole and balanced across the 12 spheres. The scriptures contain many sexual prohibitions, because the lower animal nature rules over the sex centers. See organic man ruled over by his lower animal nature. But because the sex center is the opposite polarity of the higher sphere of mind, the mind will remain limited by the sex centers. All of man's thoughts originate in the generative or sex centers through which the mind expresses itself in the physical. From the perspective of mental and spiritual development, one of the most important spheres is the knowledge sphere, which is expressed through the stomach, and the foundation sphere, which is expressed through the colon. When Jesus taught that they, whose mouths are defiled with flesh, cannot be righteous, nor can they touch holy things, or teach the mysteries of the kingdom, because of the necessity of bringing light to the stomach, which is the physical expression of the knowledge sphere of mind and the tree of life. As stated in the Alice Bailey writings, the vegetable kingdom is the transmitter and the transformer of the vital pranic fluid to the other forms of life on our planet. That is its divine and unique function. This pranic fluid, in its form of the astral light, is the reflector of the divine Akasha. Those who seek to read the Akashic records, or who endeavor to work upon the astral plane with impunity, and there to study the reflection of events in the astral light correctly, have perforce, and without exception, to be strict vegetarians. Dead flesh brings the vibration of death, fear, and animal consciousness to the crucial knowledge sphere, and inhibits the development of mind beyond the organic level that Paul portrayed as an animal soul level of consciousness. See animal soul. Thus, the Edenic Genesis account requires man to eat only seed-bearing fruit and vegetables, because the vegetable kingdom is the natural source of organic light which is necessary for the mind of man to comprehend the higher knowledge. The vegetable kingdom therefore primes the knowledge sphere and prepares it to become nourished by the source of higher knowledge that can be accessed by a deeper connection with one's soul. But where eating dead flesh deprives the knowledge sphere of light, which then stimulates and prepares the person to begin to tap into the higher knowledge source in the soul. Just as important is the effect of eating dead flesh on the colon or foundation sphere of the mind as patterned in the tree of life. Why? Because it is the foundation sphere is an opposite polarity in relation to the knowledge sphere, and it is the consumption of dead flesh that inhibits the person from drawing near and connecting with their inner soul self, as well as inhibiting the male/female columns of the tree of knowledge from coming together in the center column of the tree of life, which division inhibits the upper heavenly centers from coming together with their opposite polarity in the lower earthly centers, further inhibiting the development of the center love sphere. By putting the vibration of death in the colon, greatly slowing down and impeding the process of digestion, even creating obstructions through what is called an impacted colon, the person virtually shuts down the foundation sphere of mind, causing the person's thinking to remain earthbound and undeveloped. As can be seen in the image in the below, the eating of dead flesh is the primary cause of what has been termed the toxic colon. And as seen in the image on the left, the vibration of the colon impacts the vibration of all the organs of the body, which organs are the holographic expression of the mind in the physical. Quoting from How Long Does It Take to Digest Meat? Meat may stay in the intestines for 24 to 72 hours and still depend on its type. Likewise, red meat in particular takes 1 to 3 days to complete the digestion process because of fat content and high protein. According to Lisa Cicciarello Andrews of University of Cincinnati, with this regard, Dr. Stanley Bates has simplified the concept of sequential eating pertaining to good digestion process. He is a respected nutritional consultant in natural hygiene, and after testing the concepts of the most advanced approach to better understand proper food combining rules, he summarizes the rate of meat digestion. Even the quick digesting foods have to wait until the slowest digesting food like meat leave the stomach. Can you imagine how very toxic these meat acids retain in our bodies for some period of time and can be the causes of several ailments? The foundation sphere is that aspect of mind that connects the self we are in this world with the soul-mind matrix of our higher soul self. See the matrix and soul-mind. Who we are is based upon who we have been and what our soul has accomplished. See the talents in each person's spiritual DNA. For a spiritual seeker to begin to overcome the spiritual amnesia imposed upon each us by the physical body, see spiritual amnesia, thereby enabling the present soul-generated personality to begin to recall the previous lives their soul has lived. The higher mind as manifest in the knowledge sphere must be open and functioning without any ideological or dogmatic obstacles of belief. And the foundation sphere must be functioning at an optimum level, thereby permitting the foundation sphere to freely connect to the soul-mind matrix and bring about the proper mental and spiritual development of the person in the present. In the comparative anatomy diagram, it is demonstrated that a flesh-eating carnivore has a very short 1.5 to 3 times the body length colon, while the colon of a human is very long, 9 times body length, in comparison. This short colon of the carnivore is necessary so the carnivore can expel the dead flesh before it putrefies and turns toxic in the colon of the animal. When a human with a very long colon eats dead flesh, the flesh not only greatly extends the digestion process within the colon, slowing digestion down to a crawl, but it putrefies and inhibits the higher frequencies of mind in the foundation sphere to which the colon is connected. Thus, the eating of dead flesh impedes the foundation sphere from developing beyond the organic, thereby inhibiting the foundation sphere of mind from accessing the soul-mind matrix, enabling the person from developing the ability to recall the previous lives their soul self has lived. Merely being a vegetarian or even a vegan does not guarantee being able to recall the soul's previous lives. Unless the person is on the path of seeking soul knowledge, working on developing the mind and connecting the above, heavenly, with the below, earthly, the left, feminine/intuitive spheres of mind, and the right, male/linear spheres of mind, employing the catalysts of the scriptures to connect the inner, soul/logos, and the outer, fulfilling the reality personified in the Gospel of Thomas, saying 22. See saying 22. They said to him, "Shall we then, as children, enter the kingdom?" Jesus said to them, "When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male, nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom." Being a vegetarian will do little more than ensure better physical health. As an example, it will be virtually impossible for a vegetarian Seventh-day Adventist to recall the previous lives their soul has lived, because the dogma of their church inhibits the development of the person's mind. As stated, the eye can only see what the mind is prepared to comprehend. Thus, the beliefs, philosophical/religious, of the person creates an artificial barrier to their development beyond what Paul portrays as the animal soul level of consciousness of organic man. Unless the knowledge sphere, which is physically manifest in the stomach, and the foundation sphere, which is physically manifest in the colon, are functioning and vibrating at the frequencies necessary to bring about the expansion and deepening of mind necessary to bring about and initiate the process of transformation and the subsequent stages of birth, then it will remain virtually impossible for such a person to experience true spiritual growth beyond a very low level point of development. Serious seekers who begin to recognize the absolute need to move beyond the animal soul, see animal soul, level of consciousness that impedes their higher development of mind and spirit, beginning the process of opening their mind to tap into their higher soul self, C, and ultimately seeking to enter the inner kingdom and learn directly from the Logos/Son of God, C, true prophet. They often begin by becoming strict vegetarians, in recognizing that their colon has been long defiled by, impacted, dead flesh. Often these people get colonics to forcefully clear out their colon that has become infused with hardened excrement. What is known as the Essene Gospel of Peace presents to the seeker the answer they often embrace, where it reads, "Think not that it is sufficient that the angel of water embrace you outwards only. I tell you truly, the uncleanness within is greater by much than the uncleanness without. And he who cleanses himself without, but within remains unclean, is like to tombs that outwards are painted fair, but are within full of all manner of horrible uncleannesses and abominations. So I tell you truly, suffer the angel of water to baptize you also within, that you may become free from all your past sins, and that within likewise you may become as pure as the river's foam sporting in the sunlight. Seek, therefore, a large trailing gourd, having a stalk the length of a man. Take out its inwards and fill it with water from the river which the sun has warmed. Hang it upon the branch of a tree, and kneel upon the ground before the angel of water, and suffer the end of the stalk of the trailing gourd to enter your hinder parts, that the water may flow through all your bowels. Afterwards, rest kneeling on the ground before the angel of water, and pray to the living God that he will forgive you all your past sins. And pray the angel of water that he will free your body from every uncleanness and disease. Then let the water run out from your body, that it may carry away from within it all the unclean and evil-smelling things of Satan. And you shall see with your eyes and smell with your nose all the abominations and uncleannesses which defile the temple of your body, even all the sins which abode in your body, tormenting you with all manner of pains. I tell you truly, baptism with water frees you from all of these. Renew your baptizing with water on every day of your fast, till the day when you see that the water which flows out of you is as pure as the river's foam. Then betake your body to the coursing river, and there in the arms of the angel of water render thanks to the living God that he has freed you from your sins. And this holy baptizing by the angel of water is rebirth unto the new life, for your eyes shall henceforth see, and your ears shall hear. Sin no more, therefore, after your baptism, that the angels of air and of water may eternally abide in you and serve you evermore." Once it is understood that the connection to the soul's past lives, as well as the merger of the male/female columns of the tree of duality, is greatly dependent upon the ability of the foundation sphere to vibrate at a higher and more complete frequency of mind, drawing in the light of the vegetable kingdom from the food the person consumes, the seeker quickly learns that once the colon is cleaned of all defilements, that their consciousness can be raised up through the use of coffee enemas. Through the process of cleansing and high-level empowerment through the coffee enemas, the seeker is often able to make more rapid gains at both overcoming their spiritual amnesia imposed upon them by the physical body being cast into the outer darkness of mind and being, see outer darkness, which also has the capacity to greatly enhance their ability to observe and triangulate, see triangulation, overcoming the Tower of Babel syndrome, the secret to mental/spiritual growth, expansion, and soul birth, and also using triangulation, the laws, the spiritually mature mind of man, the Nazarene vow, and the holographic mind. The word Nazarene comes from the biblical term Nazir, which denotes one who is under a vow. Thus, the commandment of the Lord reads, "The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of separation to the Lord as a Nazirite, he must abstain from wine and other fermented drink, and must not drink vinegar made from wine or from other fermented drink. He must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins, as long as he is a Nazirite. He must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or skins. During the entire period of his vow of separation, no razor may be used on his head. He must be holy until the period of his separation to the Lord is over. He must let the hair of his head grow long. Throughout the period of his separation to the Lord, he must not go near a dead body, even if his own father or mother or brother or sister dies. He must not make himself ceremonially unclean on account of them, because the symbol of his separation to God is on his head. Throughout the period of his separation, he is consecrated to the Lord. Num 6:1-8 NIV. It is of course impossible not to go near a dead body while eating dead flesh. Thus, in order to live the necessary consecrated life that has the power to transform the body and mind of the seeker/disciple into a living spiritual temple, see consecrated living temple. This can only be accomplished when the person adheres to the Edenic commandment, that is, and God said, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." Gen 1:29-31 NKJ. This purification and transformation of the self is necessary in the fulfillment of the scriptures in the example that the historical man Jesus taught and accomplished in his own life. See fulfillment of the law. By turning the scriptures within one's own mind and being and using them as the key of knowledge in the transformation of self, without becoming a strict vegetarian, the seeker/disciple would be unable to bring about the necessary expansion and deepening of the mind beyond the animal soul level of consciousness as outlined in the above subheading, the holographic mind. It is noteworthy that in the Gospel of the Nazarenes, chapter 2:7, it was said to Mary, "Therefore, Mary, do not eat any flesh, nor drink strong drink, for the child will be consecrated to God from your womb. He will neither take flesh nor strong drink, nor will he cut his hair." Is there truth to the position that the mother of Jesus abstained from eating flesh and did not cut his hair? It is written of Jesus' brother by Eusebius Pamphilius regarding Jacob/James. This apostle was consecrated from his mother's womb. He drank neither wine nor fermented liquors and abstained from animal food. A razor never came upon his head. Eusebius Ecclesiastical History, page 76. St. Augustine wrote, "St. James never ate animal food, living on seeds and vegetables, never tasting flesh or wine." Ecclesiastical History, 2 vols. Translated by H. J. Lawler and J. E. L. Olton. Peter is quoted in the Clementine Homilies as warning that the unnatural eating of the flesh of animals is as polluting as the heathen worship of devils, with its sacrifices and its impure feasts. Man becomes a fellow eater with devils, which in many ways parallels the statement of Pythagoras, who said, "Those who kill and eat animals for food will be more prone than vegetarians to torture and kill their fellow man. For as long as men massacre animals, they will kill each other." Indeed, he who sows the seed of murder and pain cannot reap joy in love. Stephen Rosen, in his book, Food for the Spirit, 1987, argues, "The early Christian fathers adhered to a meatless regime. Many early Christian groups supported the meatless way of life. In fact, the writings of the early church indicate that meat eating was not officially allowed until the 4th century, when the Emperor Constantine decided that his version of Christianity would be the version for everyone. A meat-eating interpretation of the Bible became the official creed of the Roman Empire, and vegetarian Christians had to practice in secret or risk being put to death for heresy. It is said that Constantine used to pour molten lead down to their throats if they were captured." Only when one begins to understand the spiritual essence and objective of the Nazarene vow of consecration, and the physical/mental purpose of the hair and beard, especially in a man with respect to the development of the intuitive spheres of mind, can the foregoing be understood. To develop the mind beyond the animal soul level of organic consciousness, see animal soul, that enables the seeker/disciple to begin to comprehend both the true spiritual meaning of the scriptures and the higher reality of the soul. One must maintain the diet as outlined above at the holographic mind. And this spiritual fact is further presented in the biblical account of Daniel. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, "Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Dan 1:8-17 NIV. Can anyone simply open the scriptures and have the power to understand visions and dreams of all kinds? Not at all. And such a power and ability could only be given to a seeker who is manifest and brought about the above teachings on building and purifying the body temple. Further, the purification and transformation of the body and organic mind is portrayed in the allegory of Daniel and the 3 being thrown in the furnace. Is merely another way of portraying the reality of the words, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God," Acts 14:22 in KJ. That the carnal prophets fail to understand the spiritual meaning of the end times is in fact why generation after generation of doomsday prophets have all proven to be frauds. And this is why the modern religious world does not at all understand the spiritual meaning behind the apocalyptic visions in the Bible. See Gate of Eden. Allegorically, the grapes of this world must be understood as the spirit of this world versus man's higher spiritual nature. Then, allegorically, the statement, "Even if his own father or mother or brother or sister dies, he must not make himself ceremonially unclean on account of them, because the symbol of his separation to God is on his head," must be understood as being parallel to the gospel statement, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother." The allegorical reference is being made to the ways and the traditions of the culture one lives in. A Nazarite was one who was anointed by the Lord to teach or free his people from enslavement to the forces and ignorance of this world. Thus, it is written, "Again the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. A certain man of Zorah, named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, 'You are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines.'" Judges 13:1-5 in IV. To even begin to understand where it is stated above that, during the entire period of his vow of separation, no razor may be used on his head. He must be holy until the period of his separation to the Lord is over. He must let the hair of his head grow long. It must be understood that the hair is very much as the nerve endings that attach the physical body to their higher mind in the etheric field that surrounds the body as an atmosphere. In fact, The hair and the beard can be thought of as higher spiritual slash mental dendrites as presented in the dictionary definition. Dendrites, from Greek dendron dendron, tree, also dendrons, are the branched projections of a neuron that act to propagate the electrochemical stimulation received from other neural cells to the cell body, or soma, of the neuron from which the dendrites project. Electrical stimulation is transmitted onto dendrites by upstream neurons, usually their axons, via synapses which are located at various points throughout the dendritic tree. Dendrites play a critical role in integrating these synaptic inputs and in determining the extent to which action potentials are produced by the neuron. 1. Dendritic arborization, also known as dendritic branching, is a multi-step biological process by which neurons form new dendritic trees and branches to create new synapses. 1. The morphology of dendrites, such as branch density and grouping patterns, are highly correlated to the function of the neuron. Malformation of dendrites is also tightly correlated to impaired nervous system function. The Hasidim, many Hebrew mystics were vegetarian. See the enlightened Jewish perspective. The Jewish mystic understands that the Torah has a mystical spiritual meaning that is not at all apparent to the untransformed reader. Thus, the long-ignored Jewish mystic warns, "Thus the tales related in the Torah are simply her outer garments. And woe to the man who regards that outer garb as the Torah itself, for such a man will be deprived of portion in the next world." See the Zohar. Edited by Gershom G. Sholem. Zohar, the Book of Splendor. Basic Readings from the Kabbalah. New York. Shocken Books. 1949. Which is explained in the Zohar. The narratives of the doctrine are its cloak. The symbol look only on the garment. That is upon the narrative of the doctrine. More they know not. The instructed, however, see not merely the cloak, but what the cloak covers. And being the recipient of mystical vision, the Jewish mystics perceive the previous lives their souls have lived. The following quotation is taken from the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia, under the heading of Souls. Transmigration of the doctrine of transmigration of souls, which was especially accepted by the Karaites, is defended by Isaac Abravanel and Manasseh ben Israel. It appears often in Kabbalah. It is found in organized form in the Zohar. It is further developed in the teachings of Isaac Luria, 1534-1572, and in Hasidism it becomes a universal belief. According to these teachings, all human souls have a common origin in the spiritual unity of the primordial man, sparks of which form the individual souls. The sin of Adam brought higher and lower souls into confusion. As a result, every soul has to pass through a series of incarnations. The soul itself has no sex, which is determined by the body and may vary from incarnation to incarnation. In the Zohar, the foundational doctrine of Jewish mysticism, it is written that all souls are subject to the trials of transmigration, and men do not know the designs of the Most High with regard to them, the souls must re-enter the absolute substance whence they have emerged. But to accomplish this end, they must develop all the perfections, the germ of which is planted in them. And if they have not fulfilled this condition during one life, they must commence another, a third, and so forth, until they have acquired the condition which fits them for reunion with God.